this week, I had the privilege of attending a funeral for what truly was a great man of God. Some of you may be familiar with Richard Schwambach, also known as R.R. Schwambach, a longtime pastor at Bethel Temple here in Evansville. But beyond just that, just a great, great example of a godly life. And I open up today talking about freedom because I was reminded as I sat and listened to men who were talking about things that happened 5, 6 decades ago, that R.R. was able to speak into their lives all that long ago and still affecting them and impacting their daily lives today. And how generation and generation and generation, including myself, because it was in R.R.'s Sunday school class that I first started preaching. And this godly saint of a man one day asked me after a couple of months of preaching, he said, you know, when you first started, I almost asked if God had really called you. But you're getting better. And I'll never forget one day I was preaching and I saw him take notes and he came back and asked me a question about something I had said. And I thought, how could you possibly learn anything from me? After walking with Christ all these years, you know, I am still learning so much from him. But that reminded me this week of what a freedom is really about. Now, he had the freedom to choose to do a lot of things with his life. What he chose to do was invest in other people. He chose to live a life that followed the tenets of the Bible. And as one of his grandsons stood up and shared, he said, if I summed up my grandfather in one word, it would be holiness. That's a life that was lived in freedom. And today, what I hope is that we look at freedom, and I put out on my Facebook this week that I wanted to talk about freedom and how that the decay of narcissism, the self-indulgent over-abuse of freedom, and what has happened in America. As we celebrate, and we should, the freedoms that we have, let us remember also along with that the responsibilities that come to us. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Many people see Christianity and religion as being a suffocating, a binding, but it is just the opposite. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Guys, this one statement is probably enough that we should be able to change the world. Because there is such oppression and darkness in this world. Just this week, if you followed the news, ISIS or ISIL, depending on which news that you listen to, the extreme Muslim group in Iraq is moving across the country, reclaiming that which America has fought so hard to set free. And their ideology is not one of freedom. They say it's freedom for the Iraqis, freedom from the Western influence. But in truth, it is captivity and darkness. It is an oppressive system which does not allow their women to leave their house. It's an oppressive system that doesn't let their children learn other than the Quran and the very dogmatic, narrow-minded statements that's approved by the extremist. There's no room for art. There's no room for literature. There's no room for expression. It is a negative, narrow-minded, constrictive teaching. On the other hand, Christ came so that you may be free. It is this very statement and statements like it throughout the Bible that inspired men and women to get on rickety boats, travel across a sea and an ocean that they didn't really understand to go to a place that was wild and dangerous, a high death rate to the early groups. But yet they kept coming because of one word, freedom. We stand today in a nation because they sought this word. Freedom to express their religion. Freedom to express opportunity, both economic and spiritual. But freedom nonetheless. And this freedom has to do with relationship. Paul writes here into the Galatians, do not use your freedom to indulge flesh in selves. In other words, don't be doing it about yourself. Freedom is there because you are to serve one another. It's about relationship. Freedom, unfortunately, has taken a very self-indulgent stance, though, in our country. I've chosen to quote a few of the lyrics of different songs because I think that music probably is one medium that reaches the most and it resonates the most with others. And so that I don't pick just on the modern age, I've gone back to Jimi Hendrix to start with. Jimi Hendrix in his song Stone Free has this phrase in his chorus, stone free to do what I please, stone free to ride the breeze, stone free, I can't stay. Now the rest of the lyrics basically has to do with, this is a song that he wrote to the women of the towns that he goes to visit. He says, you try to put me in glass cages, but I'll break free. You try to snag me, but I can't be caught. You look for me in the morning and I'll be gone. I'm stone free. He's letting them know ahead of time, there is no relationship. I'm in it for me. George Michael, when I thought of freedom, I immediately thought of this song. If you're old enough to remember this, tells me where my age is. So all have, in his song Freedom, all we have to see is that I don't belong to you and you don't belong to me. That's a great love song, isn't it? And then he shouts out proudly, freedom, freedom. Talks about don't worry about the picture in the frame. Or singing in the rain. In other words, don't bring me romance. Don't bring me relationship. In an earlier song, while he still was with Wham, there's a song that he sang. And one of the lines is it in it, it says, look at me, I'm free. I'm single. I'm free. You're married. Death by matrimony. But freedom, in Michael's sense, was freedom from relationship. And a matter of fact, George Michael was singing in this song about his freedom of his orientation. He's free to not just be heterosexual. He can be with anybody he wants. Because Michael suffers from the same thing that many of us do, that he wants to feed the flesh. Feed me, feed me. The flesh calls out. But Paul writes in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, we are called for freedom and freedom in the Spirit. And if we walk in that, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another so that you are not to do whatever you want. Now, that is a message that doesn't ring very well with modern teens. Really, with anyone in modern age. Because we all want to just do what we want to do. The culture today has taken an opposite standpoint. I could think of no better example than the title song from Miley Cyrus's CD last year of We Can't Stop, in case you missed this awesome song. I'll just quote some of it. I couldn't quote very much of it. I had to be selective. But the chorus goes something like this. So la-da-dee-da-dee, we like to party, dancing with Molly, doing whatever we want. Now, just let me pause right there. Dancing with Molly, you think, oh, that's no big deal. Those of us who may not be familiar with the drug culture, Molly is a short term, and I can't say the word because it's way multiple syllables and I can't pronounce it, but I will tell you it has Molly in it, there for the slang. It's the word for ecstasy. A lot of blank stares. So, good. You guys don't know what ecstasy is. So, if you don't know what ecstasy is a drug that enhances the area of the brain that creates a false sexual enhancement. In other words, his jokes are funnier, she's prettier, this moment is so awesome. Even though you're both drunk and puking on each other and passed out in the back of a car. But we're high. We're dancing with Molly. This is awesome. Doing whatever we want. This is our house. This is our rules. We can't stop. We won't stop. Great grammar here. We run things. Things don't run we. Now, don't get me wrong. I have heard this song, and it has a very good beat. And it hooks you because you find yourself kind of going with it. And you're like, yeah. One of the lines in the chorus or in one of the verses is that it tells us that there's a line for the bathroom because they're having a party at the house. It says there's a line for the bathroom because there's lines in the bathroom. If you don't know what that means, it means that they're doing cocaine. Now, this is a song from a young lady whose brain hasn't quite developed. It's scientifically proven that if you're under the age of 23, your brain hasn't matured yet. But she's setting all the rules, she's got it all under control. And I'm not picking on just on Miley, but there's an entire generation whose battle cry is, we won't be told what to do. You see, the idea is that with freedom, that when there's no rules, we have freedom. The rules are constricting. An older generation might say, you were square. You weren't hip. Not cool. I don't know what the current thing is. I'm not into that. Because I've been square and not hip for so long, I don't know. Is it swag? I got no swag. I thought swag, no, that's shag. I was thinking about the carpet, but the Bible tells us just the opposite. Psalm 119. I run in the path of your commandments, for you have broadened my understanding. I will walk in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts, your rules, your law. The Bible tells us just the opposite of the message that the world is trying to tell you. I run in the commands. How can you run if you don't know where to go? Try having a football game or a soccer game or any sport without boundary lines. Imagine if football allowed you that if the quarterback wanted to throw the ball up into the stadium and the guy ran and dodged between the hot dog vendors and eventually he gets to the end zone. I mean, that's not fair, right? Or what if in basketball there was a guy down there like on a forklift and he was already like at 7 foot, 8 foot tall and then you hand him the ball and he just boom, drops it in. There's these rules for a reason. In the rules is freedom. I walk about in your freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I have always amazed, as a chaplain in the jail, when I would talk with young men and women, that we talked about these things. Because they had that very attitude. You can't tell me what to do. If I see something, I'll take it. If I want to do it, I'll do it. It's your fault for being so constrictive and being uncool. I'm like, hey, how's that freedom working out for you right now? You enjoying that jumpsuit? You enjoying those awesome meals? Super soft bed? When to turn your lights on, when to turn lights off, what TV shows you can, can't have, where you can go, where you can't go. How's that freedom? The freedom of the world is a lie. And it creates more of a constriction than any freedom, I'm sorry, than any rule or law that God ever gave. Take marriage. When I was younger, all of my single friends, oh, I'll never get married. Can't hold me down. I'll tell you what, marriage is freeing. Because I'm not worried about what I'm going to do Saturday night. I know what I'm doing. I'm hanging out with my wife. I know what Friday night's going to bring. It's pizza and a movie with my kids. I know where to take my check to Amy. So, I don't have to worry about where I left my car. I know. Amy's driving it. We have freedom in marriage. Is it horrible to be constricted to one person the rest of your life? The world would say yes. But you look at the alternative and you think about the pain and the drama and the hurt that goes on. And it's chaos. That's what the world brings. Any kind of person can come in and out of my life, in and out of my door, in and out of my bed, kind of relationship brings chaos. There's an international group known by Icona Pop that wrote a song last year about this, about a very nasty breakup. It was a huge success. The words go like this. I got this feeling on the summer day when you were gone. In other words, he had broke up with her. I crashed my car into the bridge. I let it burn. I threw your stuff into a bag and pushed it down the stairs. I crashed my car into the bridge. I love it. I don't care. I love it. Messy breakup. I'm so distraught I wrecked my car. I took all your stuff and just threw it out the window. I wrecked my car because I'm so messed up. This is great. I love it. Let's write a song that goes international, sells millions of records. Again, great beat. The hook on it is awesome. I first saw this song on Dancing with the Stars and listened to the words, and I thought, what is this about? This is a life that allows anybody to come in and take charge. Because that's what you do when you let people in. When you enter into a relationship, whether it's one night or a lifetime, you're giving some bit of authority and power to that person over your feelings, your emotion, your body, your relationship with God and with other people. This life allows any authority in any situation and any person to have power in their life. God did not intend things to be that way. Freedom. Our forefathers fought for freedom. George Washington being one of them. This is what he has to say about freedom and the power that rules our lives. Arbitrary power is most easily established on the ruins of liberty, abused to licentiousness. I kind of pop says, let anybody in my life, they have influence over me. In other words, I'm giving arbitrary power to the next person who walks through that door. George Washington says that that power is because we have established it on the ruins. I love this. The ruins of liberty. In other words, because we think that we are so free, we take that to extremes of perversion. Because that's what that word means there. It's a $10 word for saying basically, you have been perverted. Licentiousness has to do especially with sexual sin. Anybody is welcome. All is allowed. Anyone can run my life. It is because of the ruin of liberty, the abuse of that liberty. Jude 1:25 says this, though. To the one and only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is supposed to be only one who we give authority to. Only one who has power in our life. God the Father through Jesus Christ. So how? The challenge is, how? How do we demonstrate to ourselves and to the next generation so that they can go on to the next generation and demonstrate what it means to live a life that truly is free? Well, George Washington did it by leading an army and creating a nation and sacrificing so that you and I could be here today. We do it in the sense of Christendom as we establish the kingdom of God by being a citizen of that kingdom, by demonstrating to others and to our next generation what it means. Patrick Henry, one of our founding fathers, had this to write to one of his children late in his life. I find much cause to reproach myself that I have lived so long and have given no decided and public proofs of my being a Christian. This is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast. In that letter, he also talks about how it doesn't matter what accomplishments he has. Yes, you can label me as a contributor to the Constitution. Yes, I can be a founding father. Yes, I'm all these things. He says, but to be labeled a non-Christian is worse than me having been labeled a Tory. If you don't know what that is, think Republican Democrat. It was an early political party. Be like calling Newt Gingrich or, help me out here, Karl Rove, a Democrat. It's trying to say how we do not let ourselves be known. And Patrick is lamenting that. As I started off with by telling you about R.R. Swambach, let me tell you, there was no question in his life. And I pray that when my day comes, that I too can rest in God knowing that those around me knew that I was a Christian. Paul writes this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. You want power? You want authority? You want to make an impact in this world? It is Jesus Christ and his message. The gospel is about relationships. It's not about rules. It's not about religion. It's about relationships. Sam Adams has this to say about rules and regulations. Yes, Sam Adams did more than just make beer. He was a contributor to the Constitution. He was a founding father. He writes this about the Constitution. Neither the wisest constitution or the wisest laws will secure liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. It is not the Constitution or the law that makes morality. You could have the most perfect law and still have a corrupt people. I was reminded of this week. Many of you probably saw it on the news, that Judge Richard Young of Southern Indiana Federal Court has struck down the Indiana marriage laws. Basically, he says that the Indiana Constitution, which states that a marriage should take place between a man and a woman, is illegal because it does not give equal protection to a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. And while it is right and just that those who are out there fighting this in the legal system, that they should do so, because we still are a Christian nation and we still should have laws that reflect our beliefs, in the end, it really does not matter. They could say anything they want in the laws. It is the individual that makes the decision. Because, as Sam Adams, there is no wise law or constitution. It has to do with the morality of the people. They could say homosexual and lesbian marriages are 100% allowed in the United States. But if we were doing our job as Christians and bringing the message of Christ and morality to those individual lives, there would be no need or request for them. If you wish to change the world and bring about true freedom, that's how we do it. And Paul wrote in Romans 3, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of law, but rather through the law that we become conscious of sin. So, for those who fight against judgments like this week, continue. But let us think about it this way. As Paul just wrote, through the law we become conscious of sin. This topic is now open for discussion. We can unashamedly say, here's what I believe, and here's why I believe it. Because it's going to come up. Just walking through the mall the other day, I heard some people sitting, and this was the topic. Did you hear? Did you know? As I mentioned earlier, I did a wedding yesterday. The couple mentioned that as they were there Friday getting their marriage license, it was very busy. As couples were coming in, enjoying their new freedom to marry. The law does not make morality. It is through a relationship with God that brings about true freedom and real morality. Because it is not against any law or lawyer or judge that we fight. It is not through the flesh, but as Ephesians 6:12 tells us and reminds us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and principalities of darkness. Sin waits at the door to devour us. Jesus says he prowls about like a lion, waiting for that opportunity. And what that tells me is that we are at war. We are at war with sin. We are not at war with our Constitution or our judges or our lawyers or politicians. We are at war with sin. Because regardless, in the most darkest, oppressed area of this entire universe, there is still light when there's Jesus Christ. When the Romans looked to crush Christianity and killed them by the thousands and used them as torches to light their ways down the road, instead of stopping it, it only spread faster. While I do not look forward to oppression and persecution, if that's the catalyst that takes the church to wake up, then that is what is going to have to happen. Let us then remember the words of Patrick Henry when we go into this war. Because what we like is a nice, easy life, and I'm guilty of that too. We all love it. But in a time when they were waiting for the British to attack and they were declaring themselves a sovereign nation, they said we would be at war. Patrick Henry had those words. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? In our own modern time, we have grown to love our soft Christianity. And I start by pointing the finger at myself. We have to have the lighting just right, the music just right. We have to have coffee. We have to have air conditioning. We have to have the best lighting and seating and dynamic programs. And while these are all good and well, if they have the heart of God in them, and is not what Christ and what the church is about. I would say to us Christians, are we like these gentlemen? That our life and our peace and comfort is so dear that we would enslave ourselves to neglect the duties of our Christian calling? Let me say this, as Patrick Henry said it, forbid it, Almighty God, for I know not what others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. In other words, give me the freedom of Christ and what the responsibilities that come along with it, or just kill me now. Because there's nothing worse than an impotent Christian who does nothing. And we can play church all we want and do all the things that we want to do and make no difference to the world but feel happy about ourselves, we'd be better off dead. In just a moment, as the band comes up, we're going to sing a song celebrating our freedom. Because in Galatians 5:1, and I leave you with this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Would you therefore send yourself back into slavery and ignore that freedom? Slavery of laziness, of sin, of addiction, of neglecting the duties of responsibilities of Christ in our calling. Let's sing this song.
Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will rise, through you our hearts will praise, through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
I am
I am free.
Yes, I am. faith. Through you there's victory. Because of you my heart screams, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Who the sun sets free is free indeed. Who the sun sets free is free indeed. Who the sun sets free.
One last song quote, Janis Joplin. Freedom's just another word for what? Nothing left to lose. I had like three people who knew that song.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge. Waiting for a trip.
Freedom is not another word for nothing lose. Freedom is that we are free. There is nothing to fear. So this week, go in the freedom of Christ and fear nothing. Be strong and courageous because he goes with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that it is in freedom that we live, and it is through your blood, Jesus, that you set us free. And as we just sang, the Son has set free. It's free indeed. God, just bless these people as they go this week, as we celebrate a nation that is free to worship you. In your name we pray. Amen.
I am.